Last check-in for this group, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Fossil identical.
Okay. So my first question is about I have been lots of fears in the mind, and I noticed that I cannot watch them directly, because of if I watch them directly, I get lost to the thoughts and to the fear itself, or the mind gets lost. What I then have done is that if I notice the thoughts coming back up, I'll skip them I'll be aware of my breath, for example, and notice the how the breath feels when I'm feared and so on. My first question is this right? Should I do something else also, or?
Yeah, it's you can just So Sarah says, watch your breath, keep that as your anchor, your main object, and then notice the feeling of fear. You know, the feeling of fear is different from the thoughts of fear, right? But the feeling of fear should not be your main object. Okay, so main object is breath. And then when the mind feels calmer, just like pay a little bit of attention to the feeling of fear together with the breath. Okay, don't leave the breath together with the breath. But don't watch the thoughts of fear at all. Yeah, because the thoughts are just concepts, so it's easy to get lost in them.
So, because exactly when you said that, Alexis, I interpret it in this way, so just friendly awareness. Mm-hmm. And this relates to my question, which perhaps is a little bit to do with Dhamma Vichaya. I don't know if I pronounce this correctly. So, because I have quite a lot of worldly pleasures. So it's like, for instance, I play music, so I always go to concerts, and then I sit in the concert hall, and then I'm pretty aware. So I have my observing mind is pretty there, present, because I know there are quite a lot of temptations there. Okay, and then I see there is another mind arising, say, well, I like this music, wow, this, I don't know, Beethoven, that's my affair. And I try to say, yes, okay, good. Yeah, okay, we are here. Don't worry. So, and then, for instance, and then I notice, for instance, when there is a neighbor, perhaps being a little bit noise or whatever, I immediately hear this mind saying, well, yes, there is this person here. You can't listen. I try to quiet down and say, no, I mean, you can still listen to it. Well, of course, I don't say it's just an noise is just this noise, because I love this music. For me, it's more than just a noise. But you're able to, I don't know, so that would be the first question. Is it, because I see so many different minds arising, so there is one mind, then there is another one, another one. And of course, my job is, I do it really in my daily practice, that's my life, I do it really. But is it, I don't know, is there an end to the minds that can arise? So somehow, am I doing it correctly? Perhaps I'm making up things. I have no idea.
Tua waited on a patalu to a piogelo di lacambi tida bono, lacambi shura, to soine to boama who, pure piazia remia ishida, pure piazia remia ishida, to what စံစားစရာတွေများရှိတယ်သူဥပမာလည်းသူတချင်းကြိုက်တယ်အဲ့တော့သူ concept တွေသွားတယ်ဥပမာသူဟို concept တွေဟို classical music ဆိုပါစို့ဘီတိုဗန်နော်မောဇတ်တို့သွားတယ်ဆိုရင်လည်းသူနားထောင်နေတယ်ဆိုပါစို့နားထောင်ရင်လည်းသူကတတိလည်းထားနေတယ်ဘာလို့ဆိုတော့သူကသူတည်တယ်ဒီမှာကိုယ်ဆွဲဆောင်မဲ့အာယုန်တွေအများကြီးရှိတယ်ဆိုတော့တတိယလည်းရှိတယ်ဒါကသူနေ့တိုင်းကြင့်နေတဲ့တတိဆိုတော့သူကတတိယပါနေတယ်အဲပြီးတော့စိတ်တစ်ခုကပြောမယ်တဲ့ဟောဒီတချင်ကိုကြိုက်လိုက်တာဒီတချင်ဒီ lose ဆိုတာဒီတချင်ဆိုတာဘယ်တော့ကောင်းလဲပါလဲပေါ့ပြီးရင်တစ်ခါတလေသူ့ဘေးနားတွေတယောက်ယောက်ကဆူညံ့နေဆိုရင်စိတ်ကအဝေးဖန်ပြီးအဲဒါဘာဆိုတော့ဒီသူကစိတ်ထဲမှာတော့ပြောတယ်ဒီကအတန်ပဲပေါ့နော်အဲဒီဟာလည်းအတန်ဟိုဟာလည်းအတန်ဒါပေမဲ့စိတ်ကနောက်စိတ်တစ်ခုကပြောမယ်တဲ့ทำไมดีตะชิอ่ะน้าถองลูกก็ไม่หวนเอลุเมียวไส้เตียอเมียนลุ่นเลยอลุติโอตูเมียนเนี่ยแหละตูคิดเนี่ยแหละดีไส้ขาอลุลุตาแต่เรามายัดมะลาบ่เลยดําตูเมียนเนี่ยแหละหมั่นยัดล่ะตูทิ้งเนี่ยแหละ
ตะชิเนี่ยยัดตะชิเนี่ยတော့ตีနေပြီตีနေတော့อะไรก็ไม่ผิด
ยัด Yeah this is the minds will never
end ยัดยัดนี่มา information ยัดนี่มา
The minds will never end they will keep doing their job but you're doing the right thing you're recognizing what's happening and Seattle says recognizing what's happening that's a profit it doesn't go to waste because eventually when the mind has enough been watching enough it pieces all of it together by itself and then it understands something about the way the mind works
I'm a naku ba chi tia tho mo uti lai yin reaction ya yo lo le na tho mo uti lai yin reaction ni la
ni yeah
ta lo mta nai tei ni ma ma ta lo tu ta ke ga ma tu ta na thong chin na le tu motivation na na de a thong chin ne so yin no reaction ne
lo yeah well seriously there is what he notices is that if when you're there in the concert hall say you know the music is lovely someone is making some noise beside you and he says if your motivation is to practice you know to really be mindful seriously then you won't be so much listening to the music but you'll be looking at the reactions and then the reactions will get less but when the motivation is to listen to the music and it's being interrupted is being interrupted so then the reaction will keep coming but you can notice this both of them are processes and for you it's just to notice which process is doing what and it's okay the mind will learn
the chin chai lo the chin ni wa na tham ni dia a thu lo ya
it's possible
cha lao de ti tha la cha lao pu de ti tha la yi a thu bi da phi
yeah it's always possible to meditate even when listening to music this is because you're just being aware of hearing
Thank you so much. And I have another question. Again, I think it's related to why and no how, not why. How I observe, so my observing mind again. And it has to do with the fact that I have a very intellectual job. So I have to use my intellectual mind quite a lot. I notice they are different. So when I do my intellectual job, which is thinking quite heavily, then I noticed I still have the observing mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was wondering, what is actually the role of the observing mind there? Is it to avoid, of course, it's to be aware, definitely, all the time, but also to avoid that the, I don't know how to call it, the working mind, the intellectual mind resolving, solving puzzles, gets into trouble somehow? Because I noticed, for instance, the observing mind sees that the other mind, I don't know what to call it, perhaps thinks, oh, yeah, I have to do it, put in so much effort. And then the observing mind said, well, do you really need so much effort? it's a continuous dialogue. I mean, it's, I don't know if it's... So my question is, how is there a way to do it better? No. Or, I mean,
no,
just...
No, to get on to what? To a local, to a sense of it all over. To a little over, to a sense of it all over. ကိုအဖေါ်ရတာပေါ့နော်သူသူအလုပ်အဲ့ဒါ तू อ่ะ तू တတိထားမိတယ် तू အလုပ်လုပ်ရင်းနဲ့စဉ်းစားနေရင်းနဲ့ဦးတတိယရှိနေတယ်ပါနေတယ
်
အရှိန်ရှိနေ तू ပြောရဒီတတိယအလုပ်ကဘာလဲတဲ့ तू observing mind လို့ခေါ်ရနော်ဒီတတိယအလုပ်ကဘာလဲတဲ့ तू อ่ะတတိထားရတော့ तू သိတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့ तू နည်းနည်းထင်တယ်ပေါ့နော်ဒီ channel အလုပ်လုပ်နေတဲ့စိတ်တွေပြဿနာမတက်အောင် तू ထိန်းပေးတာလားတဲ့ဘာဖြစ်လို့လဲဆိုတော့တခါတလေ तू ဒီဘက်ကစိတ်က
เออเอาลงเลยเนี่ยตูงาดิหาอ้ายอ้ายอ่ะไปอ่ะบลาอ่ะแท้ไล่กันก้าวแม่โหลไอ้หนูမျိုးစဉ်းစားလိုက်ဒီဘက်စိတ်ကပြန်ထင်းပြည့်တယ်အဲ့လောက်ကြည်ထက်ဖို့လို့လားအလိုတလောက်ပဲပေါ့အဲ့ဆိုရင်ဒီလိုစကားပြောနေရောတဲ့အဲ့ဒါသူတတိထားမိတယ်အဲ့ဒါကြောင့်စကားပြောနေအဲ့လိုဖြစ်လို့ဖြစ်နေရမှာအဲ့လိုကိလေသာနဲ့ညာနဲ့အမြဲတမ်းစကားပြောနေမိဘနဲ့တာမမိလို့ပဲအချိန်မှာအမြဲတမ်းဒီလိုပ
Yeah, there's nothing to do better, you know, whether it becomes better or not. Yeah, the fact that the observing mind is present is the best thing already. Whether, you know, when it helps the mind to moderate its ambitions or its, you know, unwholesome, like, tendencies, that's wisdom at work in the observing mind. Sometimes, you know, when it still makes mistakes, the working mind, then, you know, the observing mind learns from that. So Sierra says it's just a process. It's constantly like that. It's the nature of the mind. He says it's like a parent and child having their conversations and learning to live. Yeah, so. Yeah, so in every moment there is both the wholesome mind and the unwholesome mind. And he says, whichever is stronger, that's the one that leads.
Awareness is
When awareness is present, then wisdom can come in. Yeah, when wisdom has a chance to win, because wisdom can only be present when awareness is present. Without awareness, then whatever is in the mind, wholesome or unwholesome, but if there's unwholesome, then they can get their way.
Yeah,
so, So you do notice how when the observing mind is present, wisdom comes in and tempers some of the unwholesome stuff that the mind, you know, yeah, blindly brings in, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's like, as you said, like a mother. I really have the impression it's like, yes. Mother as well. It's been very tiring. And I have to do it with my mind again.
Yeah, he says mothers always have to be smarter than their children to know how to persuade them and so on. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, but today I don't have question now.
Okay.
When he sits in the sitting position, he aware of pain, and then he observes more. But when there's no pain or less
pain,
so he observes less. Yes.
So
is it normal to
yeah, gross object, you know, your thinking are you the idea the way to look
because when there's pain, the object is obvious, so he feels like he is like being aware more clearly, right? But when the pain is less, he says then it's not clear, right? The object is not so clear, so he doesn't feel like he's observing so clearly, right? Yes. So Seattle says, but he must continue to try to be aware continuously. Yeah. Whatever you can see, even if it's blur, not clear,
can use
never mind, just know that blur object. Just continuously.
Nhưng mà cơn đau là đối tượng. Nếu như càng đau thì ta cũng như cảm giác là nó mạnh hơn. Nhưng mà cái cũng như là cái sự nhận thức của ta vẫn còn đó. Mặc dù nó chuyển đau.
Nghĩa là như vậy là phải chịu đựng cơn đau.
Đi mà đi ra. Đi mà đi ra.
Cắt ngắn rồi sau sự nó là ta cũng phải cũng như là phải cái cũng như là cứ nhận nhìn ra nó ngoài.
When his pain, there is pain, so his breath is more
obvious.
Yes.
More strong.
Strong, strong. Yeah.
That's right. More easy to aware.
Yes.
Thì nó được kỳ nghĩa như là mình có nên lấy cái ý thức của mình để mà điều chỉnh hơi thở.
Does he need to control the breath or something?
No, just naturally, whatever happening, just aware, notice.
Để tự nhiên.
Thank you.
Mà không đi kêu rồi, tu chốc rồi gì?
Because
you mentioned that when you were that on your own, right, you were watching the breath more and you weren't looking at the thoughts, but you could see how the breath changes with the fear. Sierra says that's good, so you can see how
mind and body relationship with me.
You can see the in relationship between the mind and the body. Yeah, so that's good. So that means the mind is fairly not so resistant, you know, it's observing fairly.
Mà cứ rồi tu à là bạn nào bảo bụt kinh hàng là xây nhà nên nên tu viện
tu
viện này mà thì đây nhưng mà còn mang rồi vậy thập rồi cuộc sống mà ok what discovery
regarding my practice here there's nothing to ask because, well, it's, yeah, nothing special to report or nothing, no problems to ask about. There's been a lot of pressure in the past day to have something to ask. But nothing regarding my practice, but there are a couple of other things I could ask about. There's some confusion about one of your very basic instructions. So your instruction is to be properly aware, not superficially aware. Oh. And so I would like to ask more about what is like superficial awareness like?
Superficially is
So Seattle says the difference between the properly aware and the superficially aware is really about the sort of like the way the mind feels looks like sometimes. So superficially aware, Seattle says sometimes we can be mindful but not really trying to. We're not really. We're kind of like just doing it because we're supposed to. You know, we're not really interested, and we kind of we're like, okay, I'm just trying to be aware. And then sometimes we can be thinking about being aware and not really being aware. So there is no real motivation or interest in being aware. You know, so then it becomes a bit superficial. And we're kind of going through the motions, but we're more going through the motions externally, but the mind is not really doing any proper work. Whereas well, when there's proper awareness, yeah, this is, it's sort of like the mind is actually trying to, you know, to build some continuity, to it's interested in making mindfulness better, so it's actually looking at each moment and you know, so it's more alert, it's reminding itself, it's checking to see whether it's being aware or lost in thought and so on. So, you know, there's more active participation of the mind in its own work of trying to be mindful. Yeah. And when we especially when we sit and we become quiet, but also when we're going about our daily activities and we get busy, Seattle says we can get into that superficial awareness, you know, it gets quiet. And he says when we're quiet, that's when we really have to step up and keep checking that the mindfulness is working, because otherwise the mind kind of sinks into the quietness and then it kind of sort of like drifts away, you know, on that quiet boat. And then it feels like from a memory that it's aware, but it's not in the present moment really aware so much anymore. So that sort of thing. So so he said, so proper awareness is like when the mind has a supervisor who's always checking to see that the mindfulness, the worker, is doing its work. You know, it's like, are you still doing your work? Are you still noticing what's happening and checking and checking? So the supervisor comes along and checks to see if the worker is working, they might like step up, start doing things properly, otherwise they might just be kind of very relaxed and, you know, doing, you know, like if you imagine an assembly line, you know. Yeah, so that's really the work of wisdom, Siano said, you know. Wisdom sort of has to remind awareness to work properly, otherwise awareness can slack off sometimes. So wisdom has to come in and remind awareness, hey, you need to be on top of the job. Sometimes when we have a lot of faith, the awareness can be very good, and or when the wisdom is very strong, the awareness will be very good. But yeah, when the wisdom or the faith is low, then wisdom then the awareness can be quite superficial. Then wisdom needs to come in and help, you know, effort to work with the awareness so that it'll be more consistent.
Yeah.
When we put in effort to be mindful, Seattle says most of the time we don't know how to not be forceful in the way we put in effort. And he says instead of trying to just put in effort, if we want to have a more balanced effort, he said, is to use wisdom, you know, to remind the mind to be mindful. Then it's less forceful.
What you just said is very relevant to me, because like I think I do see the difference in formal meditation, but if I'm just like, you know, walking around here, and then there's some awareness some of the time. And, you know, it's just like one of the reasons I'm attracted to this style of practice is that there's just like this emphasis of like really not trying that much, not putting in that much effort, just like remembering to be mindful.
Yeah.
Remembering to be aware is enough. But like seeing that instruction, remembering that instruction, what it does, like what the effect of that for my mind is that there's some confusion, some doubt when I remember that, like, am I being like properly aware or superficially aware, and then there's like confusion around, like, should I like be putting in some more effort, then is it not enough just to remember to be aware? But from like hearing what you just said now, it sounds like I'm being, at least in those moments, like there really is that supervisor, there probably way too much, but but I guess, like, if I understood correctly, it's enough just to have that wisdom to, like, remembering to be aware each moment, and that's, like, that's enough for proper awareness.
Yeah.
Like, not any more effort needed.
Yeah.
Is basically, you know, is the mind properly aware or superficially aware? Sierra says it's more a question to just check how the mind is aware. So in fact, he says when we notice that the mind is superficially aware, we've become a little bit more properly aware. Mm-hmm. And if we notice the mind is properly aware, we're like, okay, the mind is properly aware. But it's just to come back and notice how the mind is actually working. It's not to become properly aware or to not be superficially aware, but to just notice whether the mind is this or that, right? So when you notice what it is, it's already achieved its purpose. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Not to. We don't have to fix it. We just have to know what it is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Another short question is that, are you properly aware all the time, always?
No, he's not always. He has to remind himself all the time. Yeah, quite a lot, he said. But it depends. It depends on the day or the situation. He says sometimes his mindfulness gains momentum and then he doesn't have to do so much checking because the mind has gained momentum and the mind is quite properly aware. And then when it starts to fade off the momentum, he has to start working again to put in the mindfulness. Depends on how the mind feels also. Sometimes it's moody and may not be doing its work, and then he has to put in a bit of effort to stay on, you know, stay on par. It's fine. He says because he has a habit, a long time habit of trying to be aware, he says there is some residual awareness of what's going on, but sometimes it's not really strong. Like, it can't have wisdom. It sort of knows what's happening, but it's helpless. It can't change what's happening. It just knows what's happening, you know, and it's yeah. So he just has to keep trying to be aware.
So if I understood correctly, there's always in every moment at least that kind of residual awareness or superficial awareness.
He does forget, like, lose his mindfulness sometimes, Yara says, but also because of habit, it comes back, right? It comes back, yeah.
Thank you.
He can't lose mindfulness for a very long period of time because out of sheer habit it just keeps popping back up. It's like, okay, I know this is happening again. You know, I know this is happening. So that sort of happens. Yeah.
Hi. I have a question about suffering and observing either physical suffering or mental suffering. And when we are observing suffering happening, and so, like when we are doing observing, for me, it sometimes help to bring compassionate awareness or loving awareness or friendly awareness with me to observing that suffering happening and seeing if there is something I need to see clearly in that. And my question would be, and that in those moments when we are observing the suffering happening, either physical suffering or mental suffering, is it good to, until you feel that observing mind is clear and it's not getting, like thoughts are not coming and tell stories, is it good to just observing and bring the compassion in that you can do? It's helping the mind to be clear and seeing clearly the pain or the suffering happening, or to go some to go off, go off, like changing the object from suffering to something neutral.
Mm-mm. Right.
Mm. Or is it like meant to be to see clearly what the pain has in it?
Right. Du miracles are. Wegna bo dukkha bo no. Sait dukkha ba phi phi, yau dukkha ba phi phi. Tu shu ye ne. Tu a paw ma. Dilo friendly awareness bo no. Ho chin chin na na le tu o chi lai. Tu a thauk ku phit de bo no. Da mai tu ma reaction chi la ma chi la tu ma pyo u no. A lo tu a ba me le so ro. Dilo ba dau shao chi bro naw song. The di ga shin ne a thi chi ya mla ho phit de dukkha o shin shin le le mien aung chi aung chi lo ya de a thi shu ya mla ma ho yin ho neutral object ko pyaung shu ya mla so tu a reaction shi ma shi
le ne ba yoe che ga ba lu na ra shu
Sierra says, what is the purpose of observing dukkha in the body or the mind? What is the purpose of watching
ba bi lu shu ya mla
any object? What is the purpose of being mindful?
Mm-hmm. The seeing clearly, no. Or the wisdom rise from that.
Seeing clearly is what? Titi cha cha mien mu o ti pu o.
Yeah.
The bhava o tu ne patte mi tu ne patte mi lo ati nyen ti khu khu phit la.
Phit la po. Yeah. Tu a lo pyo
lo. Oh, a lo po. Yeah, a lo man lo. A lo ti chin lo chi da le.
Yeah.
အဲ့တော့ဒီနာရာကိုကြည့်တဲ့အတွက်နာရာဘာနဲ့ဆက်ဆက်လဲဘလို့ဆက်ဆက်လဲဘလို့ဘလို့ရုပ်နဲ့စိတ်နဲ့ဘလို့ဆက်ဆက်နေလဲဒီစိတ် reaction နဲ့ဒီနာရာနဲ့ဘလို့ဆက်ဆက်လဲဒါလို့လိလာမှာ
Yeah
အဲ့ကြောင့် premise reaction ကိုကြည့်reaction မရှိတဲ့ reaction ရှိတဲ့ချိန်မှာအာယုံဘလို့မြင်လဲ reaction မရှိတဲ့ချိန်မှာအာယုံဘလို့မြင်လဲအဲ့တော့
Yeah so yeah Sierra says basically we are observing everything so that we can understand its nature. And understanding its nature, it takes time to understand, right? But when we observe some physical or mental suffering, Sierra says, the first thing that the mind usually has is a negative reaction to it, right? It doesn't like to have the mental or physical suffering. It's one thing to try to bring a friendly attitude to it, if it helps. But you still have to check whether the mind doesn't like to have the physical or mental suffering. And if there is the mind that is not comfortable with having the physical or mental suffering, you can bring your friendly awareness to noticing the reaction in the mind. So not looking at the physical suffering or the mental suffering, But looking at the reaction in the mind towards the physical and mental suffering, so bring the friendly awareness to that. And the reason we bring the awareness to that is because that reaction to the physical or mental suffering is such a fundamental part of the experience of mental or physical suffering, and we want to understand this interaction, right? And if you watch if you watch that reaction in the mind, the discomfort or the not wanting the pain to be there or whatever, that if you watch that, Sierra says, if you watch it continuously, you'll notice it changes. Sometimes it becomes less, sometimes it becomes more, and then you can see how that changes your perception of the physical and mental suffering. You have done that before.
Yeah.
So that is already the seeing clearly. Okay, that is all. There is no intention, no motivation. The purpose of this exercise is not to make the pain go away, because it may or may not go away. But if you are able to see that, as you know, you say, then you are already seeing clearly. The only time he says to move to a neutral object is when you're watching this interaction, yeah, but the reaction gets worse.
Yeah,
okay. Right? If the reaction is getting worse, he says, that means the friendly awareness isn't able to cope. It's not able to cope with the power. The power of the friendliness is not as strong as the power of the aversion. Sarah says, then we need to change to a neutral object because you don't want aversion to grow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tua lo pu bi bi. Lo lo le ya pu bi bi. Ta me bae chain piang wa me ba ti chi.
So learning from all mistakes and lessons from the past retreats, now I'm more and more like bringing the question how to, you know, not how to remain mindful for the like next 5 minutes or so, but for the next year, let's say until last retreat, because I know that it's very scary experience for me to go back from the retreat, like the transition, because I see that it's like the unwholesome state is like that the darkness comes in a way, and I, well, okay, it's not as dramatic, but but there's some feeling that it's unstoppable, kind of loss of and
losing control.
Yes, and yeah, but also in a way, you know, there's a lot of things I remind myself on the retreat from the past retreats, but they are completely inaccessible outside. Because there needs to be like more. Well, sometimes they are, but
like what?
Yeah, good question. So they are like piecemeals, like small pieces are. This is a good question, but so that's why I decided to more and more work on the level of like zero of my state. So this is like the hometown of defilements, the most like the deepest groove in my mind, so to say. So does it make sense? I mean the place where my mind spent most time in my life, in a way, right? Because we can, so it's like, let's say this is like the zero in terms of like wholesome and unwholesome, mm-hmm. right? So when I put a lot of effort, I can get to some wholesome states. And usually I don't know how I got there on the retreat. I don't understand actually what happened. And sometimes I can also work with the...
Are you sure you don't have wholesome states at home?
No, well, I'm not saying that. Okay. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that for sure. But, okay, so my let me try to explain what's the, my home place of my mind is. That it's like you're in the toilet and you're lost in thoughts and someone turns off the light. Okay. And then you realize you don't know where you are, kind of, and it's not pleasant to be here and you want to escape. So, and this is whenever I bring awareness in my where you know when mind is doing its thing, thinking and so on, it wants immediately to escape. This is the nature of my like base state, like wanting to escape. There's like base aversion, and I want to change it all the time, but it's not. It's very stable in a way. It's subtle the aversion, so that the illusion is also subtle. So that's why. So this is the reason why I keep saying something that Sedo and Alexis said, you know, I can't be aware. And when someone says, I can't be aware, it means usually that there's aversion, right?
Did you say you can or can't?
I can't.
Someone says they can't be aware, usually it's they don't like what they're...
Oh, yeah.
It's not that they're not aware.
Yeah.
It's that they don't like what they're
exactly,
aware of.
But I think I'm not... Because I know that it's supposed to feel differently, right? So for example, I can...
Why is it supposed to feel differently? It's just the way it is, right?
But it's when there's like, when you don't shine like awareness and wisdom, it's just like you want to escape. So this is the nature of this mind. Yeah, it wants to escape. Yeah. It's not happy, right? But there are like little movements.
Okay.
So I realized yesterday that what I usually do is like, for example, I start walking back and forth. And the problem is both that it's unpleasant and also that it's unrecognizable. There's a illusion of constancy, right? So that's why the mind it's hard to notice anything interesting and get the mind going, the wisdom going, right? As Sayo sometimes says, sometimes we need to change things in order to wisdom kind of kick in to start noticing things. Yes, I'm sure. Sometimes it's... Okay.
It's all getting very confusing, yes.
Okay, so I noticed that what I actually... My strategy of my mind is to make things... Make this frustration more clear. And then the mind sees the frustration and then it can work with it. Mm. Because there's a problem because there's not enough awareness to see the subtle aversion, right?
But from what you say, you already see it.
Yeah, but it's kind of intellectual. So it's very like convoluted way to realize this, right? So today I started trying to do the justice. So there's this great quote in a Dhamma Everywhere book. Just as you don't have to look in order to see and sniff in order to smell, which is an interesting one, you don't need to focus in order to be aware, right? So I tried exactly to do this and notice whenever the mind tries to change its state in any way, just to relax. Well, relax, just to stop doing this, right? Because it doesn't even feel relaxed in this home place. And I realized that there's one advantage.
Why don't you just notice what the mind is doing instead of trying to stop what it's doing?
Well, but the strength is very... The strength of this base aversion is very... It's high. It's so. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I have to notice it, but it's very difficult because it gets me very quickly into fantasies, right? So one way of escaping it is like the aversion is driving thoughts, which drives like some kind of imagination, imagining that I'm in like a different place, different state, right? So just noticing these moments is difficult because it's unrewarding at the beginning. But that's how I, this morning I realized that's how I need to learn like patience and real virya, right? So like persistence, not to expect anything. And the additional outcome is that knowing that I didn't have to do anything, whenever I reach some more understanding, if I know that across you know, all this path, I didn't have to do anything, then it means that this is well earned in a way. And I can always relax. I don't have to put any effort to maintain this understanding, right? Because usually it's like I do some stuff, I don't know what I'm doing, and I gain some understanding. And then I have to put a lot of effort in order to maintain it, because I think I have to maintain it, right? And if I stay with this...
Simple awareness.
Simple awareness, but also I remind myself, wow, I didn't have to, whatever is going on now, I didn't have to do anything in order to build this momentum, right? It feels much more secure, right? Does it make sense?
You did
right?
have to do something. You had to be persistent and patient. Yes.
Right.
So that,
right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
It was not an intellectual exercise.
But intellectual exercise in my case is driven by craving, by wanting to escape. Right.
Yeah.
So this is the feeling part of the thought. Right. In my case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like.
Okay.
And then this is hard to see.
Summary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I didn't reach the conclusion yet, but I think that this is the best summary. I mean, the way I talked is...
Maybe I try to summarize, because I have to tell Seado I need to summarize it. There's too much for me to...
Okay, I can try it. So
no, let me summarize.
Sure.
You tell me if I'm... So I think basically you recognize... how your mind sees intellectually the many ways this mind works, whether it's to escape the moment by not being aware, and that even when it's aware, because there is an underlying aversion, it's always trying to get away from it. So it ends up being unmindful. But you also recognize that this intellectualizing doesn't help you to maintain a consistent practice, because there is no understanding of how you understand things, or because there's a lot of random, the mind kind of thinks in many different directions, the way you speak. So that you recognize that if you do, if you recognize the moment and how it is trying to do all those things we just talked about, but you just recognize it and stay with it. Don't follow the mind's tendency to go away and do its usual thing. And if you just stay with it consistently, and it can feel, yes, very unrewarding in those moments, but if you stay with it, and then eventually, because when we are consistently mindful, understanding arises, then that arising of insight gives the mind faith that when all we're trying to do is just be simple and aware, it brings the right result, which is not a result of me trying to intellectually figure something out, but that there is a right and lawful process in the mind that can help itself.
Yes. And then it gives much more stability. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
သူပြောချင်တာသူစိတ်အလုံးလို့တောင်သူကောင်းကောင်းနားလဲသူစိတ်ကအမြဲကိုယ်နဲ့ချဲ့တယ်နားလဲဘူးကြိုးစားနေတာเนาะဒါပေမဲ့ကိုယ်စကလုံးနဲ့စဉ်းစားတော့ဒါပေမဲ့ကျွန်တော်တို့များတာအဲများတာဒါပေမဲ့သူပါမြင်လဲဆိုတော့စိတ်ရဲ့တဘာဝတစ်ခုရှိရဲ့သူကအထဲထဲမှာအမြဲနေလို့မကောင်းနေလို့မကောင်းအဲ့တော့စိတ်ကဘာဖြစ်လဲဆိုတော့တင်းအောင်မှာသူကဒီဟာအချင်းလေးကိုရှောင်ကျင်တော့သူကရှောက်တွေးတယ်အဲ့တော့
ถ้าเราไม่กังวลเราบลูคันซาเลยส่วนดีทาระหัวโจมไม่ใช่ตัวเราไปอันรีวอร์ดิ้งสุดาหัวมาพิวบอกหัวคันซาเราไม่กังวลบอกเนาะรีวอร์ดสุดาสู้ยาอะไรสู้ไม่ยาตัวเราสู้ไม่ยาตัวเราไปพิจารณาแต่เมื่อตัวตีเร็วเสกกัดดีฮะตัวเฉยยามากังเนี่ยเสกตัวมาช่วยจริงเราตัวเปลี่ยนเนี่ยละสุดาดีเฉยตัวขนาดตาไลน์มันใช่ไหมฮะใช่ไหมตอนนี้เราเล็กคำมีตีมันตีมันตีมันส่วนยิ่ง ที่เนี่ยหัวเชียงยาไลน์ยามพิษตัวยาไลน์เก่าหน่อยยามพิษอ่ะเว้ยอะไรส่วนเนี่ยยามพิษเนี่ยช่วยวัดตีมาก่อนอืมแต่เมื่อตัวดียามพิษอ่ะตีตัวบลูอันนี้ฮะเนี่ยปูบล็อกเซกูสเตเบิลพิษเนี่ยบอกว่าส่วนเอสไอโอดี ဆိတ်ရှည်တာနဲ့ဝရိယတောင်ဆောင်ထားတာစက်ဆောင်လုပ်တာရိုးရိုးလေးပဲเนาะကိုတခြားဘာမှထည့်ဖို့မလိုကိုနာရောစဉ်းစားတာတော့မထည့်ပဲနဲ့ရိုးရိုးလေးသိနေညံဖြစ်ညံဖြစ်နိုင်နေဆိုတာအဲ့အချိုးရပြီဆိုရင်စိတ်ကပိုစိတ်ချလို့ရတယ်တရားပေါ်တက်တယ်ဒီ process ကိုပို့တော့တကဖြစ်လာတယ်အဲ့အဲ့လို Yes, it's good that you figure that out. Good, keep doing that. Being simple and persistent. Yes.
In awareness.
It's important for the mind to become simple, he said.
Yeah, especially mine.
To the pendulare. Yes.
And can I ask one more question? Because I realize also that my mind is craving for something magical that happens in the practice, and I think I realize what is it.
What is it?
So this is the moment where when everything from, there's a lot of objects, right? And they seem to make kind of like friction. It's like dukkha, right? And then suddenly there's a switch and it all falls in one place. And this is the I guess the right view samadhi that Sayadaw is talking about, right? So at least that's what I'm thinking. So I'd love to clarify. There's some kind of switch of perspective, and it's calming at the same time.
What does it switch to? Okay, let me describe. So sometimes when we're being aware in the beginning, it can just feel like it's quite chaotic being aware of the different things. And then when you gain some momentum, it starts to feel like the awareness. When the awareness kind of, gains momentum, right? Then it starts to feel like everything is connected and there is a centeredness and then I call it elasticity. I feel like everything becomes very elastic but everything like has its own place.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of know where things are, how they belong, and it's all just moving, but it doesn't feel so chaotic anymore, even though you know the same amount of things, it feels very centered and aware, and it kind of has a flow. So Yes.
But also, I think the Vedanas changed. I mean,
Vedanas.
Yes, I think to some extent they actually
changes.
Right.
Because perspective changes when you
see. Right. So it's not that it's like the same. It's actually. Even though the perspective changes, it becomes more neutral and more pleasant and so on. So this is what the mind craves.
Yes.
So, and this, it feels like amazing, especially when, for me, because I have to...
Let me, two seconds, I want to ask you a question. Along the other person period, along to a flow sheet and a rock on a separate thing.
When
into place of Kanzara, Hotamala. Anyhow, Nyam,
Yamba,
the decessor. The decessor, So, yeah, just wanted to clarify. So, Sierra says once the momentum kicks in, once the awareness gains momentum, the reason why everything feels like it's in place is because wisdom is also present.
So, and usually for me, the dynamic is that there's a lot of effort. It's very wide, but it's very chaotic. And then the switch is like sudden. So it's like feels rewarding, but there's a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But I today, I noticed that also the same dynamic happens on a smaller level.
Yes, and the small?
On the small scale.
Yes,
yeah, so like there's noticing of these unpleasant emotions, and then there's like relaxation. And I was wondering whether it's not what Buddha meant by talking about samatha and vipassana working together as two qualities. So later it changed meaning to like meditation with single object, but actually originally I think it was about the different mental qualities. I heard it from someone, and I'm just wondering whether it's not the, because this is what kind of I'm sometimes experiencing, that we can balance these two qualities. One of them is like this intuitive finding of of balance. So it's actually switching the perspective, and it can be very, it's easy when there's not a lot of objects. So that's why, right, it's easier to calm the mind.
It's just about wisdom. It's not about the outside. It's not about whether there's objects or no objects or whatever. It's just about the qualities held in the mind.
But still, it feels like there's this interplay of this calming quality of the mind that finds the balance and the expansive intelligence kind of thing of, like, in this case, like called vipassana, which is like knowingness and inclusiveness, right? And we, I think that it, when we recognize these qualities, I for me it's easier to find the right balance. When to, how much should I, when should I actually start to relax what I already incorporated into awareness, right? And when I should like keep expanding and knowing, right? And increasing this kind of liveliness. So it feels kind of like in the sauna, right? Hot and cold, right? And at some point when there's too much hot, we actually want more aliveness, right? Yeah, and yeah. And then at some point we need more like relaxation.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Are you able to do this?
To do what?
To find when to when you need what. Has it worked?
I like today in the kitchen, for example, and yeah, it's barely under control, but I start to see the pattern that.
Okay,
that,
but
yeah.
You haven't like worked on it for a while and checked to see whether it works.
Well, it does work. It does work.
It worked today. You tried it once.
Today. A couple of times, but noticing that it's...
A couple of times not enough. You have to be able to do, repeat it consistently.
Sure. That's why I'm asking, because whether it's like a good, direction.
ဒီအချိန်ရပါတယ်ပေါ့နော်အဲ့ဒါဆိုရင်သူကတော်တော်အများကြီးစူးစမ်းရတယ်ပေါ့နော်ဒါပေမဲ့ဒီနေ့သူဗာမြင်လဲဆိုတော့ဒီဟာတကယ်တမ်းအသေးလေးတွေမှာလည်းဖြစ်တယ်တဲ့ဥပမာမချိုက်တဲ့စိတ်တစ်ခုကသူရှုနေတယ်ရှုနေဟိုသူတဲတဲ့ရှုနိုင်လို့ပေါ့နော်တဲတဲ့ရှုနိုင်တော့ရော့ပါစိတ်ကရော့ပါ relax ဖြစ်သွားတယ်တိဟိုခံစားမှုကရှိပြီမဲ့စိတ်ကခြေတဲ့စိတ်ဘက်ကရီလက်စ်ဖြစ်သွားမှာပေါ့နော်အဲ့လိုမျိုးသူတဲတဲ့လေးတွေမြင်တော့တယ်သူမြင်လာတယ်တဲ့ဒီစိတ်ကဟို
balance လောက်အောင်ပဲပေါ့နော်ဒီငြိမ်းနားနဲ့ငြိမ်းနားနဲ့ရီလက်စ်ဖြစ်တာအဲ့မှာသူကမေးတယ်ဒီအာယုံနဲ့ဆိုင်လားဆိုတော့အာယုံနဲ့မဆိုင်ရဘူးလို့စိတ်နဲ့ပဲဆိုင်ရမယ်ဆိုတော့သူဒီနေ့နှစ်ခါလောက်ကြည့်တယ်တဲ့သူနည်းနည်းအဆင်ပြေတယ်ပေါ့နော်ဒါပေမဲ့သူဘာလို့ကြည့်လဲဆိုတာအတိအကျဒီမှာမဟုတ်ဒီမှာလူများလို့အချိန်ကြာလို့မမေးတော့ဘူးအတိအကျဘာလို့လဲလို့ဟုတ်တယ်အဲ့တော့တပီ
Yes, you can try it out.
Yeah. I also wanted to just say thank you because I just am reminded so many times when I was practicing of the retreat, I recalled some words or sentence, said by any of you, like sometimes years before, and I'm amazed, really, and at that point, I'm really, really grateful and amazed how much like patience is required, because this is so subtle, right? And like to say something and to clearly see that the person doesn't understand, and but sometimes it gets ingested like even like years later, which is which is amazing. So yeah, thank you.
Says you could say, if you want, you can say that, like what you were mentioning, is like a balancing of the samatha and vipassana practices. We have to learn to use both. Mm-hmm. skillfully.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, Talari, yes.
Pardon? So, actually, no question in my practice, but I would like to hear Saidov's opinion. How deep a psychological problem meditation can solve or heal?
Psychological problem. Well, sort of psychological problems. Depends on so many things. Depends on the person.
So
it depends on the circumstance, on the person, whether how well they understand practice, whether they can practice properly, the teacher. I mean, in the Buddha's time, somebody went totally mad, ran around stark naked, and the Buddha was able to awaken the person. But even now, Syadu says, I mean, he's come across cases of yogis who, in their meditation, and their meditation has some momentum, and, you know, they've been building up good momentum, and then when they remember past traumas from when they were children and stuff, and now looking at it through the lens of right view, then the mind sees it in perspective and doesn't feel so horrified or traumatized by the experience anymore. But it doesn't work with everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Essentially a psychological trauma is where the mind is suffering because it is viewing something in the wrong way, so it's making itself suffer. And, you know, once if the mind can practice right, if it can get the right view, if it can get the right wisdom that is able to work with the wrong view that the mind is having at that time, that makes it suffer, then it can become free from it.
Mm-hmm.
If it has that insight. Yeah, Sierra says all suffering comes from having a lot of greed or aversion in the mind. Of craving or aversion in the mind. So if we meditate and the craving and aversion reduces in the mind, then, you know, it can help. So Sierra says we could call all of craving and aversion's doings the psychological problems of the mind. He says we're all essentially insane. We all have mental problems, greed and aversion. Just some have fewer mental problems, some have quite acute mental problems, some have chronic mental problems.
That'll be the title of your next book. Basically, we're all insane.
I mean, that's from the Buddha, right? Calling us Putujana, which means mad worldlings.
Yeah, not right.
Yeah, that's what.